began last week the dinim of Stam Yenam, and we already discussed how this is a very relevant topic. Obviously, it comes up in restaurants, and at weddings, and hotels. I remember actually there's one story about the person, the waiter in the back room. Right, I told you how he was kihilu, maybe actually Ovid Avodah Zarah with the wine. In hotels also, even in Mahadran hotels, I was a couple of years ago in a hotel for Shabbos, and I know a mashgiach. I told you the story. I know the mashgiach. He's a dayan. He's a tremendous talmid chacham. And in the hotel, I saw there were Arab waiters, and they were pouring wine for the guests, and the wine was eino mevushal. And I went over to the mashgiach, and I said, "What's going on? How could this be?" And he said, "It can't be." I said, "It is so. I saw it with my own eyes." So he said to me, they sat down, all the waiters, they had a whole discussion with them, they gave them a shear, they told them they're not allowed to give wine to the guests. So he said, "I'll sit down with them again, I'll explain it again." But the fact is that sometimes when you have at an institutional level or at a large level, it's very hard to control things all the time. So this is an issue that definitely pops up in different venues. Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere that certain churches use mevushal wine like manischewitz for for church services, whatever. So wouldn't that defeat the whole purpose of mevushal? Meaning,
not really. If they actually use it for avodah zarah, then it's avodah, then it's a problem. But stam yinam is when you don't know.
Right, but I'm saying they use mevushal wine, which we assume goyim will not use for avodah zarah because it's lower level.
Right.
But if they are using it for avodah zarah, wouldn't that undermine the whole?
We have an assumption that they won't do it, but if they go, if they've lowered their standards, so where they've lowered their standards, they've lowered their standards. But we'll get to we'll talk about. What they're doing, is it really considered avodah zarah or not? In a moment, we'll get to that in a second. But in any event, we basically said as follows, that real yayin nesach, wine that was really used for avodah zarah, so it's asur min hatara to drink, and it's asur min hatara to get hanah. And then we said that where we don't know what was done with the wine, if the wine comes from the non-Jews, but we don't know what they did. Maybe they used it for avodah zarah, maybe they didn't. Or they had, they moved our wine, they did shikshuch. Okay, they slosh the wine around in an open container, so those two cases are called stam yenam, and basically midrabanan, that means that the wine also is usur to drink and it's usur to benefit from. Okay, that's what we're up to. And we made it very clear that the case of stam yenam, where we have the wine, okay, is a case where the wine is open. So in other words, let's say you have an non-Jew working in your house, you have a housekeeper, and you have wine that's sealed, and you leave for a few hours, you leave for a few days, and the housekeeper may be in the house taking care of things. So we don't say that the wine becomes yayin esach, and even if they picked it up and they shook it around or something, but we don't know if they did it, it's not clear that they used it for avodah zarah. We don't know what they did with it, then we assume that it's fine. The only time there's a problem is when it's unsealed. Okay, let's say you open some wine, use wine for Havdalah, for Kiddush, whatever, and then you left the house. And the Shulchan Aruch says the non-Jew knew that you were leaving for at least a meal, for at least 18 to 20 minutes, and then you come back, and you say, "Oh my goodness, I forgot the wine in the house." So the Shulchan Aruch says that really, Me'ikar HaDin, the wine should be thrown out, because maybe they took out the cork and they did shikshuch and put it back. You don't know. There's no shmir on it. So it has to be sealed. My father-in-law, Davka, likes yayin she'eino mevushal. He likes non-cooked wine. And so he has a minog that on Motzei Shabbos, when he does Havdalah, so if there's still wine left in the bottle, what he'll do is he'll take masking tape. And after returning the cork to the bottle, he'll wrap the masking tape around the bottle and then sign his initials on the masking tape. Because on occasion they have a non-Jewish housekeeper, and then there's no problem if they leave the house. So anyway, but again, just to be clear, this is where we're talking about an open or unsealed bottle. Now, what I want to discuss with you now is the nature, what is the reason for the gzeirah? It's a four-way debate in Rishonim as to the reason for stam yenam. So some Rishonim, for example, like the Baal HaTosfos and Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes and Mibeis, say that the reason for stam yenam has to do with benosehem. They quote Gemaras that the real reason is because it'll lead to intermarriage, which is very understood, to keep us away from wine with non-Jews, because wine obviously leads to intoxication, you drop your guard, and it could lead to socializing at a different type of level, and it would lead to intermarriage. So because of that, the Baal HaTosfos would say, Chazal would go there on the stam yinam of non-Jews, or if they have contact, if they do shikshuch with our wine. What's interesting, though, is, like I would have thought, if the Baal HaTosfos would have asked me, so what level of iser should be on the wine? Should it be usur b'shtiyah only? It's only usur to drink, or even b'hana? What would I have thought? I would have thought the iser should only be to drink. Right? I mean, that's the issue, right? That's where the socializing occurs. Why should it be if they do shikshuk on the wine, on my wine, that I can't even sell it? That I can't make a parnas off it? That I can't have revach or hana from it? Why should that be? So the reason that Baal HaTosfos bring down is that, you know, there's a din. They call the tikkun rabbanan kein daraisa tikkun. There's a general rule. It's not a hard and fast rule, but it's a general rule that Chazal, when they are matakein, when they make legislation, they generally try to find a pre-existing Torah model to fashion the legislation upon. So they basically legislated the prohibition of stam yenam along the lines of yain nesach, which we know is also to drink and also to benefit from. So even though the reason is a totally different reason, it has to do with intermarriage, but they needed some type of pre-existing model, so they used that pre-existing model. Okay, where you're talking about people who are ro'i fenesach, they're truly of the avodah zarah, so Tosfos says even though the reason is for benoseim, they were able to model it after an Avodah Zarah reason. Okay? An Avodah Zarah model. So that's the Baal HaTosfos. Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Tes and Mibeis, gives a different reason for Stam Yenam. He says it has to really do with the concern for Nesach, that maybe the non-Jews really used it for Avodah Zarah. So we don't know. So there's a chashash to hachoka of Yain Nesach. So they made the gzeira that it's also to drink and also to benefit from, which is now understandable. Now you can really understand that simple. Why is it also to drink and also to benefit from as well? Because maybe they used it for Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says the same thing. The Rambam is in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. It's in the Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam says also that the concern was for Yain Esach. Okay, those are probably two of the most famous reasons for the gzeira of Stam Yenam. Either Benoseihem, concerned about intermarriage, or number two, we're concerned that maybe they used it for Yain Nesach. Two other reasons that are brought down in the Ravid. If you look in the Ravid in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Chiddush HaRavid there, so he brings down two very interesting reasons. One reason he says is that originally, you know, this is historical development. Originally, Chazal forbade the wine because of intermarriage. And then they saw that also the non-Jews were using it for, that there should be a concern for Yain Nesach, so they tacked that on also. So both reasons are true according to the Ravid. Then the Ravid brings down a fourth reason, this is the third. Now the fourth reason it's two reasons in the Ravid, is the following. That basically, historically it wasn't developmental. Rather, Chazal would go there both immediately because they wanted to forbid both Isser Shtiyah and Isser Hanah. Okay, that's the right. But Ben Kach, basically the reasons there are because of intermarriage and because of Stam Yenam. Now, because of Yain Nesach.
The Isser Hanah only came later? Is that the point?
In which Ravid?
Yeah. You said that...
The first Ravid says that originally it was only also because of Ben Oseihem. And then they saw there was also Nesach. So it sounds like, yes, that it was originally only also Bishtia, and then they also added the Hana in the first Ravid.
Okay.
In the second Ravid, he said they did it together in one shot. Okay. What's the reason for the fourth one? Why did they do it together? Because they wanted to have a comprehensive Isser for Shtia and Hana. Okay. Now, let's change the case. Up until now, we've been talking about the model of non-Jews who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But let's say you have non-Jews who are clearly not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Most Rishonim typically assume that that the Muslims, let's say for example, are not of the Avodah Zarah. Okay. Or let's say you take someone who's an atheist, whatever, but they're not of the Avodah Zarah. So are we going to say also when they have contact with the wine that there should be an Isser Shtia Uhana? Maybe there should just be an Isser Shtia? Right, because it's hard to say that we're going to be gozer because of Yain Nesach. I mean, these people don't... They're not of the Avodah Zarah. Why should we gozer Yain Nesach on it? Maybe there should be no Sishtia. What's the din? So there's a big Machlokas Rishonim. Rambam in Machlokas Asuras Perek Yud Gimel and Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, this is on Nun Zayin on base. So the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos, they take the position as follows. They're makel. They say that if a non-Jew who is clearly not an Ovid Avodah Zarah does shikshuch on the wine, or the wine comes from him, then the din is that the wine is also to drink, but there is no prohibition of hanoch. That's what the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos say. So I'll give you an example what the implication of this is. Let's say you work in an office, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, okay? You work in an office, and it's the holiday season, as they say, okay? And in the office, non-Jews are giving gifts to each other and to all the co-workers, and they give you a bottle of wine. Huh? Right, so now you know. So you can't drink it. Stam, the wine that they gave you wasn't an OU Mahadran wine. It was some other non-Jewish wine that Stam Yena. So what are you going to do with this wine? You can't drink it. So can you now go ahead and give it to another co-worker as a gift? Okay, now there happens to be a discussion about Lo Sechanim. I know if you guys are familiar with this, is it is in the Torah to Stam give gifts to Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Okay, Lo Sechanim typically is understood as Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but some even extend it to all non-Jews.
Is that also during the time of the Avodah Zarah holiday?
Right, giving it the shame, right, you know, for the Avodah Zarah, you know, but you're just doing it, you know, not for the... You're giving out the...
In their
holiday season, right? So you mean for Hanukkah?
Okay.
You know, it's your Hanukkah gift. So first of all, Lo Sechanim only means that when you give it for free, meaning that you don't expect anything in return. But if you give something, and because of this, there's good will that's created with a colleague. So there's a very strong argument to be said that even in the most machmir version of Lo Sechanim, in other words, extending it even to non-Ovdei Avodah Zarah, if there's goodwill created with a colleague, so that's not called giving it just for free. There is something that's expected, there's some reciprocity that's anticipated and expected. So can you give it? But you're getting hanah. What about the reciprocity? You're not supposed to benefit. The answer is, according to Rambam and the Balei Tosfos, there's no problem. Because according to them, there's only an Isser of Shtia and not an Isser Hano. However, there are other Rishonim, for example, the Maharami Rutenberg, the Hagos Maimonios, the Hagos Oshri, the Tur, that say as follows. They think that L'chatchilo one should be Machmir to treat that wine with Isser Shtia and Isser Hana. They say just B'makom Hefsed, we can be Mekel. But they feel L'chatchila, we should be Machmer. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, how do they paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel, like Rambam and Tosfos. Okay, if you want to look it up, the Shulchan Aruch is in Yerodea, Simen Kuf Chof Dalad, Sif Vav. It's in Yerodea, Simen Kuf Chof Dalad, Sif Vav. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, is make it like the Rambam and Tosfos, but the Ramah quotes every, he quotes both Deos, and then he says that he thinks that Lechatchila should be Machmir, Ashkenazim should be Machmir, not to benefit from drinking, also, and not general benefit, Isser Shtia and in Isser Hana, but he says, but Makom Hefsid, like, for example, let's say you are an owner of wine, you're a store owner, you sell wine. And non-Jews, you go out for mincha, and some non-Jews walk in, you leave this door open, and some non-Jews walk in, and they start sampling all the wine. They're opening up all the casks, you know, the valve, you have a valve on the cask, and you have a spigot, and they're testing all the wine just to see what it's like. And you walk in, and they say, we love your wine, we want to buy it all. So if there's an Isser Hana, you basically say, I'm sorry, you know, and then destroy all your wine. But if you say that it's mutav b'makom hefsed, so then you can, you know, you can sell it for them. Right, that's the Ramah. Yeah.
Is hefsed only monetary loss? I mean, you know, like personal image law, I don't know, like
what?
You know, like personal image or something like that. I don't know if that would like law, but like is it. Is hesed only monetary?
What would be a case where?
I don't know. I don't really have one, but I'm just curious. Is that the?
I don't know. Like, you know, some other shasat chak. If you can generate some other shasat chak, perhaps you sort of get the sense from the Ramah that there's some room to negotiate over there where there's a tzarech gadol. But he says, really, he says b'makom hefsed. That's that is what's brought down. Yeah.
In the previous case where you have.
But it's not. That's only when it's your wine. But if it comes from a non-Jewish source, then we don't know. At one point, it wasn't closed. So, right. I'm saying, let's assume the wine factory is from people who are not over there. What is that?
So even so, well, it's closed.
Right. Still has a din of stam yinam.
Do you happen to know if it's still true that the reason a lot of people are hesitant to use Triangle K beverages because they're not Machmir with their grape products? I thought that was the reason why a lot of people don't, a lot of camping schools don't.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I can say is that I heard from my father-in-law who spoke to, I believe, it was either Rav David Feinstein or Reuven Feinstein about the Triangle K Hechsher in general. So he said that he's not referring to the meats, not to basar, but he thought that the other hechsherim were fine. Today, bizman hazeh, the Triangle K bizman hazeh is fine. I don't know about the beverages that they didn't talk about, so I don't know what he would say. I don't know. I've never heard anything about the beverages. That's, I'm not sure. But according to the Ramah, so let's take this case again. You receive the bottle of wine as a gift in the office. What do you do with it now? Is it really a hefsed to take it and, you know, you leave it on a coworker's desk anonymously, so you're not getting any hana. Right? Is that a loss? Is that truly a loss of money? I don't know if the Ramah would really say that that's a case where you can make it. You just leave it, wave no one around, you leave it on a desk and go. But you won't be able to give it as a gift, because l'chatchila, you're supposed to not benefit from the wine. Now, what's interesting, the Levushei Srod says as follows. The Levushei Srod is brought down in the Pischei Tshuva in Yordea Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel. And the Levushei Srod says that you can be mekel l'chatchila even, not just b'makom hefsed, but even for revach. You want to make a profit. So some say, oh, you see from this Pischei Tshuva that there are deos that are very, very mekel. So just to understand the context of that Levush Esra, that was talking about a person who was a wine merchant, or he's in business. For him, if he doesn't make a profit, so the whole thing is a waste. He's in business. That's what he does. But it's hard to say that if you're just you're in the office and someone gives you a bottle of wine, that it's the same situation. It's not so clear. The Chachmas Adam is willing to be Mekel. So the Chachmas Adam is Mekel, but he says the Baal Nefesh should be Machmir in this regard. The Pesach Tshuva himself, the Maharam Shik, also seem to be Mekel. And there's room to be Mekel when it comes to this topic. But you see, there is a Machlokas. The Ramah is Machmir, and the Shach was Machmir. So there's a bit of a debate, but there is some room to discuss a head there, even for Ashkenazim as well. Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's change the case again. We were talking about people who are non-Jews, who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Min Hastam, not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Let's say I can tell you, not just Min Hastam, they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but it's not Shayach Avodah Zarah for them yet, or at all. I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a one-year-old baby crawling across the floor. He's non-Jewish. And for some reason, I had a bottle of wine on the floor that was open. And the non-Jewish baby goes over to the bottle of wine and picks it up, shakes it around, and puts it down. Do I say, oh, stam yinam, you know, they teach him young, you know. What is that what we say? So the Ramah, this is brought down in Yerodea Simin Kuf Chaf Dalad. The Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch seem to be Mekel in this type of case, not Shayach, there definitely should be no Isser of Hana in this case. There is an Isser Shtia, interestingly. There's still an Isser to drink it. That's like a low plug, but the Isser of Hana is removed in such a case. Similarly, a Ger Toshav, if you have a non-Jew who is clearly keeping the laws of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, he's a real frum Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach person, so also similarly in such a case, we're going to be Mekel and allow Hana. No, there's still an Isser Shtia, but there is no Isser Hana. Now, yeah. Well, Tosos concedes that, you know, since it's only been Osehem, so there really shouldn't have been an Isser Hana, but they needed to define it based on a pre-existing model. So they use an existing model of Avodah Zarah.
So they use the existing model to matir this or not?
So Tosfos says that where the people are not over the Avodah, Tosfos themselves, Paskin, that right, Rambam and Tosfos are Mekel, that where the person is not
over the different body, Tosfos.
Yeah, but it's consistent, that where they're outside the world of Avodah Zarah, so then the Isser is only Shtir. It's the only way Chazal were matakin an Isser Hana is when the person is in the world of a Avodah Zarah.
It doesn't say that in Chavtet, right? That's Tosfos inside.
Right.
So it's still possible that Tosfos in Chavtet would say that there's always an Isser Hana no matter what, because that's just part of the modeling after the Isser of
It's possible. I mean, if they don't say it, I guess it's open. Right. It's open. But it would seem to be consistent. But you're right. It's theoretically right. Good point. Now, which nations are considered Avodahs, of the Avodah Zarah, which are not? So if you look in the Rambam is found in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph. And there the Rambam says that Muslims are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodos Kachavim, Perek Tes, Halacha Dalet, that Christians are. Now, it depends on your version and depends on your Nusach that you have in the Rambam. If you look in the Frankel Rambam, you'll see this. That according to the Rambam, Christians are still considered of the Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam had some contact with Christians. He didn't have a lot of contact with them, but he did have contact with them.
Both sources?
Both sources? The first one is the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay, Yud Gimel Yud Aleph in Macholos Asuros. And the second Rambam is in Avodas Kochavim, Perek Tes, Halacha Dalet. And again, Avodas Kochavim, Perek Tes, Halacha Dalet. There he says that Christians are considered of the Avodah Zarah. Now, the Meiri in the yeah.
I've heard that the Rambam's reasoning for qualifying the Christians in the Avodah Zarah don't apply to Christians nowadays. Is there anything behind that? Do you know what I'm talking about, or is that?
You mean you're talking about Unitarians versus Trinitarians?
Right.
So it's possible. I mean, it is possible to make such a chiluk. I mean, it's not clear from the Rambam, but there's good svara to make such a distinction. Because if they're Unitarians, so then maybe they don't, depending, I mean, there are a lot of different versions even with them, you know, but it's possible. The Meiri in Avodah Zarah, it's Perek Aleph, indicates that even Christians are not considered of the Avodah Zarah. The Meiri lived in a Christian area, and he says Christians are not considered of the Avodah Zarah. And if you want to look also at another Meiri, this is in Bava Kamma, Daf Kufya Gimel Amud Aleph to Kufya Gimel Amud Beis. He says that those who are Mugdar Bini Musin are not considered of the Avodah Zarah. In other words, what the Meiri sounds like he's saying is that people who are cultured and not basically barbarians, but people who are cultured, they're not considered of the Avodah Zarah. Because what is Avodah Zarah? I mean, when you look at Avodah Zarah, it's, at its very core, it's barbaric. But people who basically live cultured and refined types of lifestyles, they're not considered of the Avodah Zarah. So some wanted to say that if that's the whole standard, then people who are barbaric, if they have barbaric lifestyles, even if technically they don't seem to be, you know, they're not bowing down to Avodah Zarah, but they would be begeder this din of Avodah Zarah. So then it wouldn't be a question of Christians versus Muslims. It could be they're Muslims, depending on the behavior. If they're acting like animals, then, or you know, the barbarics, so then you could start talking about the possibility of also classifying them as of the Avodah Zarah.
What would that mean in terms of like,
for this purpose?
In terms of like Hinduism? Because Hinduism, people themselves, like, you wouldn't call them barbaric, most Hindus, they're educated people, but Hinduism is clearly polytheistic, clearly...
Okay, so we're going to talk... Worship. Good, right. So based on that standard, it's a question how the Meiri would deal with that. Okay, it's not clear. Now, this concept, by the way, brought down in the Meiri, is also found in the Maharal Miprag. If you want to look it up, it's in the Maharal Miprag in his Chuvos, Simon Chaf Dalad. You could also see this in the Teferis Yisrael in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Dalad. Again, Teferis Yisrael in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Dalad. And also the No Debi Huda in his Hakadama, he has a section called Litnat Slut HaMachaber. So he talks about that there as well. There's also, in addition to this, a Gemara in Chulin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that reads as follows. Listen to this Gemara. Nochrim Shebechutz Laretz, Lav Avodas Kochavim Hein, Elaminog Avosein B'Yedehen. See, they have their Minogim too. What's the Minog Avosein B'Yedehen, right? Yantav Shein Shegolios, for us, that's Minog Avosein B'Yedehen. For them, Vagayim in Chutz Laretz, there, the Avodah Zarah is Minog Avosein B'Yedehen. What's the Gemara saying? Essentially, the Gemara is saying that they don't know what they're doing. To be an you got to know what you're doing to be an Ovin Avodah Zarah. You need a true Mesorah. You have to be educated. You know, you have to know how to do this. You can't just mimic. And it seems that he's saying that it's really mimicry because they don't truly understand what they're doing. That's what the Gemara Chulin Gimel Amud Beis says. I'm going to share with you just one last source on this. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. Daf Beis Amud Aleph writes as follows. At the very end of Tosfos writes, Aval Rav Elchanan Omar Kigam osam ofrir ein shum iser kimashahim nosnim osam legalochim lekomrim einu mamish l'shem avodas kochavim elat sorachana osam. Also, sometimes when they're giving gifts to their priests, it's not for real avodah zarah, but it's just because it's for their own benefit. I don't know if you guys remember the whole Shetel controversy. Remember that? People were giving their hair to these temples. So, if you follow, according to this Tosfos, strictly speaking, maybe you could say the same thing. Maybe it's only the Tzarech HaNasam. It's all discussion as well. But this would be an example where maybe they didn't really know what they were doing, or they weren't really doing it L'shem Avodah Zarah. It was for their own benefit. In any event, the point is that there is a debate in Rishonim, but there's a lot of evidence to indicate there are that there are a lot of people who are not over the Avodah Zarah. You have to really know what you're doing. And Bezman Hazeh, maybe there aren't. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you find something very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, right, this is Machaber, in your day, Simen Kuf Chof Tes, Se'if Yud Aleph. It's in your day, Kuf Chof Tes, Se'if Yud Aleph. So the Mechaber writes, Rav Yosef Karo says, that Muslims are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's number one. And then, in Kuf Chof Dalid, in Simen Kuf Chof Dalid, Rav Yosef Karo writes, he says that there is some nation that's not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't really say who. And the Mefarshim say, why does he speak in such a vague language? So the Mefarshim say, because the Mechaber wants to point out that there are many such nations that are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And he's just giving us a generic model for nations not being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Basically, the Mechaber understands that many nations are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You look in the Ramah is even clearer. The Ramah is in Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Chof Dalet, Se'if Chof Dalet. So it's again, Simen Kuf Chof Dalet, Se'if Chof Dalet. The Ramah writes that all nations today are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, I honestly don't know. Did the Ramah know about the Hindus? And I don't know. But it's a very bold statement that basically the Goyim are not over the Avodah Zarah today. The Shach paskins that way as well. The Shach is in Simen Kuf Chof Tes, Sif Katan Chafei, he paskins this way. So if that's true, if the Ramah, according to the Ramah, and according to the Mechaber, for those who are not over the Avodah Zarah, what's the upshot of this? For Sfardim, that would mean that such wine is Osir Bishtiya, but Mutar Bahana. For Ashkenazim, it's Osir Bishtiya Ubahana Lechatchila, but for the Eved, it'll be Mutar Bahana B'makom Hefsed. Okay, it's still Osir Bishtiya, but it'll be Mutar Bahana B'makom Hefsed. Okay, now, what I want to now discuss with you is we were talking about like a lot of theoretical cases, Hana, how many people are here, wine merchants, maybe one day in business you'll have to deal with this, but tachlis, what about drinking the wine? Is there any matzav of heter where there's contact of a non-Jew with the wine and that we can be mekel akadekach to drink the wine? Is there any, can we push the envelope that far to be so mekel? So, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you get the following psak. Let's begin with the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, that let's say a non-Jew has contact shelo b'kavona, negia shelo b'kavona with the yain. In other words, you're in a restaurant, you're in a fancy restaurant, you buy a fancy bottle of wine, a $300 bottle of wine. So you you know halacha. When you ask the restaurant to give you the bottle of wine, you say, please bring along a corkscrew and I'll open it up myself. So that's what you do. They bring you the sealed bottle. You open up the wine. It's a Mahadran wine, but it's Eina Mavushal. It's not cooked. And you open up, you put on the table, and you pour for yourself and for the family and for the guests, and you're celebrating. And you put the bottle of wine, it's still half full. There's $150 left of wine in there. And a non-Jewish waiter who works in the restaurant is weaving his way through. He's holding like a whole pile of dishes or of food. And as he's walking by, his hand or part of him just bumps into your bottle of wine that's on the table. Bottle of wine back and forth. There's the shikshuch, right? Comes to a stop. And everyone's like looking in horror at what just occurred. Is the wine usur or mutter? So the Rambam says that that wine is permitted because that was considered negia shelo b'kavanah, and therefore the wine is still mutter b'shtia. That wasn't intentional contact. It was unintentional contact, and therefore it's permitted. And the Mechaber paskins this way. This is what the Shulchan Aruch writes. It's in Yordea. Simon Kuf Chaf Dalid. Sif Zayin and Sif Chaf Zayin. It says in both places, that's the Psak, and that's the Halacha. Okay, now that we know that, I want to introduce a psak of the Ramah that at least initially baffles people when they read this Ramah. The Ramah is in Yoredea, Simon Kuf Chaf Dalad, Seif Chaf Dalad. And he writes, Bizman Hazeh, where nations, the non-Jews, are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So he says their contact with our wine is considered negia shelo b'kavana. What does the simple understanding of that Rama seem to have just done to the entire halachos of Stam Yenam Bizman Hazeh? Right, the whole thing is just thrown out, right? I mean, the Rama says that non-Jews, inasmuch as they are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, their contact with our wine today is Negiah Shelo B'Kavona. And we just got through saying that, according to the Mechaber and the Rambam, the Negiah with our wine, Shelo B'Kavona, is Mutar B'Shtia. So people read that Ramah and they say, oh my gosh. So the Nosei Kelim immediately point out that is a misunderstanding of the Ramah. The Ramah, as if you look at all the other Ramos, you put it all into context, what the Ramah means is not the same Negiah Shelo B'Kavona as the Rambam and the Mechaber. He's not saying it in the same way. When the Rambam and the Mechaber was talking about Negiah Shelo B'Kavona, they meant literally the contact, the actual contact with the wine was unintentional. But when the Ramah is talking about it, what he meant was that their contact with our wine is shelo b'kavana l'nasech. In as much as they are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they clearly are not having contact with our wine with kavana to have nisuch. Okay, so that's just important, just to clarify. If you ever see that, Ramah, don't like say, oh my gosh, it's all mutter. It's not what he means. He means it's shelo b'kavana l'nasech. And therefore, what should be the din? The wine is also to drink, and the chatchila also to get hana as well, except the Malkum Hefzeh. But the Ramah does say that since their intent, their contact with our wine is shelo b'kavana l'nasech, he has a few heterim that he's willing to give us. So what are some of these heterim? So he says, number one, he agrees with the Mechaber that if their contact with our wine, if the actual contact was shelo b'kavana, it was unintentional, and as they just bumped into the wine, it's mutter to drink. That's number one. Number two, he says, let's say they pick up your wine and they thought it was beer. If they didn't understand what they were picking up, if they didn't understand that it was wine, then it's also mutter to drink. And number three, if their contact with our wine is indirect, not unintentional, but it's indirect. They're not actually holding the wine. But let's say, let's give an example, where they have an ice bucket. Okay, now let's say you put the wine into an ice bucket on the table. You open the wine, it's in an ice bucket, and the non-Jew comes by and picks up your ice bucket and moves it somewhere else on the table. So did they pick up the wine directly? No. So the Ramah says that because of that, since they didn't have direct contact with the wine is also mutter to drink. So people immediately jumped to it and said, they asked for Moshe Feinstein. A lot of waiters wear gloves. There used to be a time. I don't know, has anyone, do they still do that at all in restaurants? But let's say they're wearing gloves. Is that considered indirect contact? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, this is in Igros Moshe, Yoredeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Nun Aleph. He says, no. He said, the gloves are an extension of their hands. It's designed to fit right on the hand. It's an extension of the hand. You can't say that that's indirect contact. So that's not going to help. But the ice bucket case is a good case. So at this point, I want to share with you a heter that I'm not giving you a halacha l'maisa heter. I'm not. But in terms of the theory behind it, it's a beautiful theory. And it makes a lot of sense. But there are holes in it, but the theory is still a beautiful theory. There's a sefer called the Sha'ari Mitzuyanim Bahalacha. It's authored by Rav Shlomo Brun. And basically, it's Ha'aros on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So he says, according to the Ramah, that a non-Jew's indirect contact, even though it's intentional, but it's indirect, does not forbid the actual wine. So the Sha'ari Mitzuyanim Bahalacha says, listen, today, when wine is made, I mean, how many people have gone to a wine factory and seen what happens? Does anybody actually touch the wine ever? Is there ever direct contact with the wine? Right? They take a tractor or some type of harvesting machine to harvest the grapes. And then they dump it into a big kli. And that goes from there into another, into a presser. And there it's processed. And there are people pushing buttons. But who's tasting? You know, I mean, who's touching the wine? Now, the hole that I just said is the tasting part. Someone's got to taste the wine. Right? That's the problem. That's probably the big hole in this head there. At some point in time, they have wine tasters. So when the second they do that, that's shechshuch, and they're moving the wine around, and that's going to probably ruin it. But in theory, this was a very beautiful idea. So he was willing to say that if somehow you knew that no one ever tasted the wine in the processing, which is very hard to believe, but if that were the case, maybe there's some room to be mekel, b'shasat chak, da 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 da. But halacha l'maisa, no one's mekel like this. We don't paskin like this. But I'm bringing it out to demonstrate the extension of this idea of the Ramah, that if it's indirect contact, then then you don't have to worry about the drinking of the wine. Okay. Now, let's bring it up even more halacha l'maisa. Let's say the waiter is a Jew, but the waiter is a mumar l'chal al Shabbos before Hesya. This person is Jewish, but he drives on Shabbos publicly. He does malacha publicly. So in many respects, which we're going to talk about, such a person is considered a dino kenachri. You can have a Jew that's dino kenachri for certain halachas. So what do we say about Stam Yenam? Will he ruin the wine? And just by the way, Ed, I mean, if you've gone to restaurants, you see sometimes waiters, you don't know whether they're Goyim or Jews, and even if they're Jews, it's not clear that that maybe they'll act in such a way that's not, that we may indicate that they're not Shomer Torah Mitzvah. So I'll tell you just so to understand how unclear the situation is. I remember going out to eat with my wife and my in-laws. It happened this year, earlier in the year. And we went to a restaurant in Yerushalayim, and my father-in-law ordered a glass of wine. And the waiter who had come to us, who was taking care of us, was wearing a kippah, and he was taking our order. My father-in-law ordered a glass of wine, and he thought that this person was the one who was going to bring the glass of wine. He thought that this was the waiter who was going to take care of everything. But the person who showed up with the glass of wine was a person who wasn't wearing a kippah. So my father-in-law didn't know what to do. He felt very uncomfortable. At some point, when the waiter, again, that had the kippah, came over to us, he said, listen, I feel very uncomfortable raising this, but I'm a little concerned, you know, and before he even got the rest of the words out of his mouth, the waiter with the kippah said to my father-in-law, he said, I know exactly what you're worried about. He said, I specifically asked this waiter to open the wine and give it to you. He said, even though he's not wearing a kippah, he said, I happen to know that he's Shomer Shabbos. I know him and he's Shomer Shabbos. So it was interesting that can happen. I've seen this with my own eyes. I was in a park with my wife, and there was a somebody who was not wearing a kippah, a fellow who was not wearing a kippah, and he took out some food to eat. He put a kippah on, said a bracha, he ate it.
Many of these farthest in New York do not wear a kippah from Shabbos. The davening to eat don't wear a kippah.
Oh, so maybe, okay. It's interesting.
The question is, many of the restaurants in New York, the kosher restaurants, have wine by the bottle.
Right, New York, right? No, you probably. I think that's interesting. In America, usually all those stores have mevushal wine. In Israel, it's the opposite. It's strange that they don't do that, but yeah. In any event, it's not a simple question. You can't. It's so clear that you cannot judge a book by its cover. Okay, when you get by a book, by people, you can't just make assumptions. So that complicates things. Odioter. But the question. Let's deal with the question. Let's say we know for sure that the person is a mumar lechal Shabbos b'fahesya. What would be the din? People have this issue when they visit relatives. Sometimes their relatives are unfortunately a mumar lechal Shabbos b'fahesya. What do you do? So first of all, the din, the concept of a Jewish person who's a mumar lechal Shabbos b'fahesya being dino kenachri. Has some precedent. For example, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simon Beis, Sifhei, when discussing the laws of Shechita, says, who can be a kosher shochet? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if there's a Yisrael, but he's a mumar l'avodah zarah, or if he's a mumar l'chal Shabbos b'fahesya, either way, he's possible to be a shochet. He's dino kenachri, and we don't let him. We say shechita is not kosher. Also, I'll take a question in a moment. The Ramah writes in Yoredeya, Simin Reish Samach Dalad, Sif Aleph, with regard to Milo. So he says a mumar Yisrael, again is dino kenachri, and he's possible to be a malach. So now, based on that, since we already see that a mumar Yisrael is dino kenachri for shechita, is dino kenachri for mila, so the natural question here is he dino kenachri for stam yenam? Now, can you tell me, can you give me a reason why we should say no? Why would I make a distinction and say, we shouldn't say stam yenam, yeah?
So the non-Jews will only do it if they are avodah zarah.
Right.
No, if the Jews are clearly not avodah zarah, but just Shabbat,
right. Right. So if we can determine he's not a mumar l'avodah zarah, he didn't convert to Catholicism or something. He's just unfortunately a mumar l'chal Shabbos v'hesya. So you're right. So the avodah zarah part we can remove. There's no concern there. And what was the other reason? Intermarriage. Right. Yeah. That's also. There's no isser of intermarriage with them. So I would think it should be fine, unless you just say it's like a low plug that somehow because it's dino kenachri, so categorically we should apply the din. So we're going to have to stop in a moment, but let me just share with you a few things. With regard to a mumar Yisrael avodah zarah, the Bahag states very clearly, the Bahag is in Hilchos Shechitos Chulin, he says that if he's a mumar l'avodah zarah, then his yain is stam yenam, which makes perfect sense. That makes tremendous sense. But what about a mumar l'chal Shabbos b'farhesya? So what's interesting is that Rov Rishonim don't even talk about it. There's no discussion by most Rishonim. Interesting. But there are, here and there, a couple of Rishonim that talk about it. And those that do are machmir. The Rivosh is in Simon Samach Dalet, and he's machmir from Mumu Lechal Shabbos Professor. He says, Dino Kistam Yinam. Rabbeinu Yonah which is brought down by the Rashba in Chelek Zayin in his Chuvos, in Simon Kufayin Tes, is also Machmir. The Rabbeinu Yonah in the Rashba's Chuvos in Chelek Zayin. So the question is, how do we paskin? It's almost time for Marv, so we'll leave a little drama for next week. What do you do? No, it's halacha l'maisa. What do you do if you have a waiter who served you like this, who is Mamul Chal Shabbos professor, if you have relatives who are this way? What do we do? How do we paskin? Rov Rishonim don't talk about it. A few Rishonim who do are machmir. How we deal with this, we'll see next week. Okay, Erev Tov. I can't believe all these shirim are cliffhangers.
This is coming out.
Yeah.